The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
And this is Jonathan Healy in for Pat. It's Wednesday, so time for the green scene. We say good morning to Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Good morning, Ruth.
Hi, Jonathan. Nice to talk to you.
It's lovely to talk to you as well. We're going to talk about two kinds of species right now. Hybrid species we'll get to in a minute. But first of all, invasive species. And there are many examples of this, aren't there?
There are. And invasive species are exactly what they say on the tin. They're species that have moved into a habitat where we don't normally find them. But unfortunately, they usually cause quite a bit of damage to those environments. And as you said, we've actually had our fair share of them here in Ireland.
Yeah, and I mean, there are many that jump to mind. I'm obsessed with Japanese knotweed because anywhere you see Japanese knotweed, there is now an urge to put up a sign. And the signs are almost as invasive as the knotweed itself.
They are, and there's also that big giant rhubarb plant that you see around the place. We've had a lot of plants come in, and as you say, they are damaging. But we've also had in Ireland some pretty unusual and noteworthy mammals that have come in. So back in 2016, we started to see sightings in Cork of coypus, and coypus are a pretty alarming looking animal if you weren't expecting them. They look like a meter long rat, and they have large orange teeth, but they feed on aquatic vegetation, including some very rare plant species. They burrow through the banks of rivers and can damage the banks, and they can also eat crops, so not a species that we really want to see a lot of. And within about a month of seeing those first ones, scientists had captured 10, so they started to breed quite quickly. Now, we haven't seen any recently, but it is amazing. We have had outbreaks of raccoons, chipmunks, and even wallabies in Ireland.
Wow, okay. I know that isn't there a colony of wallabies on Lambay Island, but they're on an island, so they're nice and secure away from the rest of us. I didn't realise that the odd one had been found roaming the Irish countryside.
Yeah, well, with all these things, I mean, they do often come from escapees or they're inadvertently brought, through transport. But I suppose we've always seen them, apart from things like knotweed, where it's really invasive. We see them as a little bit of an oddity and maybe even a bit of fun to see an unusual species. But new research published last week showed that invasive species are as damaging to ecosystems as the combined effect of the current amount of global warming we've seen, and even severe things like drought. So invasive species really destabilize ecosystems, and they make them much less resilient and able to cope with other changes. So what this science is telling us is that when we see those invasive species, really we should try and get rid of them as soon as possible and keep our ecosystems as strong as we possibly can.
Well, you talk about the 10 coypus and the damage that they could potentially do, but if you look at rhododendron, which is another invasive species, and the damage that has done down in Killarney National Park, it just shows you that there can be a real impact if it isn't kept in check.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Then there's the hybrid species. So tell us about them, Ruth. What's the difference between invasive and hybrid?
Well, a hybrid species is when two, and again, even talking about species, we often talk about a species as a group of creatures or plants which can only breed with itself. It can't breed with another species. But those definitions are a little bit woollier than that, because often you do get different species which can breed with each other. It's just that they don't, because they're in different geographies. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about when species that don't normally meet and interbreed do meet and interbreed. And there's a few examples of these. One of the famous ones is the pisley or the growler bear, which is a hybrid from a grizzly and a polar bear.
I'm glad you told me what they were. Yeah, so it's a grizzly and a polar bear come together and they're called a pisley.
That's right. And of course, so Brett, those two bear species only separated from each other in evolutionary terms about 500,000 years ago. So they actually can breed and they can produce fertile offspring. And what's interesting about pisleys is, I mean, normally this is not something we like to see. As I said, we don't like invasive species because everything has evolved over millions of years to fit where it is. But with pisley bears, it seems that their hybrids might be able to forage for a broader range of food sources, because polar bears have these very long skulls, so they're expert at grabbing seals out of the sea. But their molars for chewing are quite small for their body size, because they just chew on this soft blubber. Whereas obviously a grizzly bear has these enormous teeth. They can eat whatever they want. So it seems that a pizzly bear might have some of the features of those two skulls, perhaps giving it an advantage that it can grab seals, but it can also chew down on tougher food. And of course, the reason these bears are coming together is because of climate change. It is because of the polar bears, moving out of their habitat, and the grizzlies, as their climate, their habitat gets warmer, they're moving north.
Tell me about the killifish. I've never heard of it, but apparently it's a clever little thing.
It's not so much clever, but if you imagine again, when this hybridization happens, it's like having two decks of cards, one blue and one white. And if you shuffle those together, that's what's happening to the genes in a hybrid fish. And it may happen that if you have a gene that helps you to resist a disease, you could pass that on to the hybrid. And that's what's happened here. The Gulf killifish lives in the Houston Ship Channel, and that's a very, very polluted channel at one of the busiest ports in the world. But it's actually grabbed a gene for pollution resistance by crossbreeding with the Atlantic killifish, which just happened to have this mutation. So again, that's an example where this hybridization has helped the Gulf killifish to survive in this very polluted environment.
I'm sure if Darwin was hanging around, he'd point out, well, this is merely the evolution of the species, and it has always been thus that there will be hybridization. But are there downsides to this that, you know, are a direct result of man-made activity forcing animals to do things that otherwise they mightn't?
Well, you've put your finger on it exactly, Jonathan, because evolution happens over hundreds of thousands of millions of years. And you know, while in a way these are examples we've seen more recently, it's impossible for entire ecosystems to evolve as fast as we are changing the planet and the climate and their habitats. So yes, you know, it may be that there will be some useful accidents here which will protect elements of species as the climate changes. And we may even be able to learn more about how these species are managing by studying hybrids. They're very, very interesting to study their genes. But, you know, really we need to get back to the source of the problem, which is, you know, doing our best to prevent excessive runaway climate change and just looking at pollution and, in, you know, how we're degrading the environment.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society with Science Foundation Ireland. Thanks so much for talking to us, Ruth.
Thanks, Jonathan.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.